This episode features an interview with Caprice Stallings, a mental health counselor from Orlando, Florida. You can find us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, SoundGirls.org, and our website is soundgirls.org. Now, Caprice, you have a very long bio here with a lot of words that we are not really familiar with in my line of work. So if you could please give us your own personal intro, we would be so happy to listen.
Yes, thank you. So I'm a registered mental health therapist in the state of Florida. I am specialized trained in trauma therapy. I work with teens, individuals, couples, and the age range usually goes from like 10 to 100 and plus. I love working with teens. I love working with individuals, especially when they have complicated trauma. I am trained in EMDR, which is a bilateral therapy that helps heal the brain from trauma and traumatic images stuck in the brain, which is really good for PTSD and first responders. I'm trained in accelerated resolution therapy, which also helps the brain unstick the traumatic images that they experience from, you know, their traumatic past. I absolutely love what I do. And yeah, that's about it.
Well, thanks. Thanks for joining us. I've known Caprice for a very long time. We've been friends for years. And I would honestly tell you, she's probably given me a lot more free counseling than any therapist should ever. But just during the COVID and all the stuff that we're all dealing with as a nation and as a world, really, right now, the whole world is kind of on pause. You're probably busier than ever, Caprice, trying to help people cope with this and learn what to do and how to do it all and stuff. I've been on a lot of conversations with Sound Girls and a lot of my friends across the nation that are really struggling right now, being out of work and being home and trying to pivot their entire world into something else or just at a standstill. And we're all kind of dealing with a little bit of weird emotions and maybe some anxiety, stuff like that. And I keep seeing things popping up like all over, you know, social media and everywhere else that's like, oh, self-care is the way to go, you know, and it's self-care is kind of like the buzzword right now to take care of yourself. Obviously that's what it means, but I'd kind of want to dive a little bit deeper into that. If you can kind of talk about that and just if that's one of the ways even to help ourselves right now in this crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. Self-care is actually the fundamentals of mental health. If you think about building a house, right, you wouldn't start with the roof. You would start with the foundation. And so self-care is literally the foundation of anything that you want to work toward and gaining a more high-functioning mental health. It has to do with self-efficacy, self-trust, and self-compassion, self-love. And that's a lot of, you know, big flowery words, but it starts with literally pausing and focusing in on yourself, because we get so distracted, especially in these times where the anxiety is super high for most people. There's so many unknowns with the virus, with finances, with the world opening back up, their own families, with health issues. Can I go to the grocery store? Can I not? And so self-care is very, very vital in this time, I would say. And it's really can be boiled down into some building blocks. Like there's physical, mental, and emotional self-care. And I have a list that I do, but do you want me to talk about those, the specifics of self-care?
Yeah. Is there, I mean, obviously, when you get into counseling, you're going to go a lot deeper and, you know, we're just on a little podcast here. So obviously, you know, there's times when, if we're in counseling, we need to learn ways and healthier ways to do self-care, but is there something you can kind of give us like, hey, here's a, you know, 2-step, 3-step, 5-step.
Yeah, something absolutely. You can do? No, absolutely. So it's vital right now that all of us are taking time and unplugging from social media. I know that's probably harder for your industry because that's exactly what you do, but it's even more important for you and all of the people in the audio, the entertainment industry, because A, there's a lot of grieving that's happening right now, because when you have a loss of control and a loss of a expectation of how your life's going to go, it's automatic grieving. And so if you guys can unplug, go outside, walk around, movement in our bodies are so important to relieve stress. Drinking lots of water. I know that sounds strange, but actually that can boost your mental health. Taking time to like sit and allow your feelings to come and notice them. A lot of times our negative feelings come up and we want to swallow them back, or we want to drown them with food or alcohol or with other people or TV or screen time. And actually staring at a screen, for a long period of time is associated with high levels of depression. So just getting outside, noticing your emotions, allowing yourself to feel your emotions without being intimidated by them. Cry if you need to cry. Shout if you need to shout. Punch a pillow if you need to punch a pillow, because this is very real. And so just allowing, because emotions are energy in motion. So if you let them come in, notice them and let them flow through you, they won't be stored in your brain and body. Does that make sense?
That's great. I love that. What did you say? Emotions are energy.
Energy in motion.
I've never heard that before. I love that. Yeah. And just working through them, like talking to a friend of mine, she had emailed me the other day and just one simple phrase. And she was like, anyone else crying today or is it just me? And I was like, oh, man, you know, like, I did that yesterday. But I wanted to make sure she knew, too. Hey, you know, it's OK. I did that yesterday. And, you know, do you need to talk to me while you cry? Cause I can call you, you know, that's fine. I don't have any, you know, so, and I think I learned that from you, cause I'm not normally that kind of person. But I reached out to her, you know, and I was just going to text her back, and I had this like, man, maybe I should FaceTime. And so I FaceTimed her, and we both just, she burst into tears, then I burst into tears, and then we kind of laughed and, you know, worked through it. So I think I had told you about that afterwards and was like, man, I felt like we both had a good emotional release and everything feels good now, you know?
Yeah, that's called a catharsis. It's so important when we have that emotional release. A lot of times we can do that through journaling. If you don't have a friend to talk to that you feel like is safe and unbiased as far as like, you know, a safe sounding board, then you can journal your thoughts and feelings. And a lot of times what I do, I go for a walk and I use the little voice memo app on my iPhone and I just vent all the way, a 30-minute walk, and I'm like getting all my feelings out. And by the time I'm done, I'm like, ah, that felt better.
I have definitely been using my nightly dog walking time as my personal therapy. Like we'll go and walk and he's just like sniffing and I try to put my screen down. I don't always get that goal, but I try to put my screen down and just kind of focus on that. You know, half an hour walk or whatever. And that helps so much. That was definitely something that I learned when I was in counseling, is to try to find that way to be in the moment somewhere.
Yes.
And the dog, like for whatever reason, just cause he's a dog, I guess. And he just sniffs. I can focus on that and that helps. He's also cute.
Yes. That makes so much sense because there's a little device in the back of your brain called a pons. And like it develops your circadian rhythm, which is your sleep state and your wake state. So when you go outside, it actually syncs up with the rhythms of nature. And that's why nature is calming to your body, because you begin to take on the sound of the wind and the air and the water, if you're around water, and it literally calms your body down. And like what you said, it was very powerful. It's so important to learn to be present with yourself. And that's, you know, what that actually means is to stop and do a personal check-in. Like, how am I doing today? Like, wow, I feel sad. Like, and allow yourself to feel that sadness. Or I feel frustrated. And allow yourself to feel it without denying those feelings.
I think, you know.
Yeah, my fiance. Oh, sorry, Becky. My fiance and I, we sit together and we'll check in and just be like, how are you? Are you okay? No. I'm not okay. I am not okay. But it's like we're trying to come to terms with being okay with not being okay.
Yes.
Because we don't really have another choice.
That's another powerful thing, that it's okay not to be okay. And that's what you really learn in therapy, because our society and our world tells us that we have to always be on, always be productive, always have to have something wonderful, you know, in the pipeline that's happening. And sometimes that's just not life. Sometimes things aren't going well and it's okay. It's okay not to be okay.
Is there something? So I'm kind of one of these people, like, it's okay to not be okay. That's taken me a very long time to learn. Somewhere in my thought pattern, I think growing up, not being okay meant being weak. Mm. And it meant that I couldn't handle something. And I think a lot of women are conditioned that way as well. Mm. Especially in our job, like, we have to be okay. We have to be able to handle the situation, or we're just some sort of crazy,
you right. Can't we're show some emotion, sort of
crazy bitch who doesn't know what she's doing and all that. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, sitting in the hole, you know what? I don't have the solution, and that's okay right now, because I'm usually the person on site or on tour that, hey, I got a solution. I can fix that. I can do this. I can, you know, so it's been quite a weird shift in my brain.
Yeah.
I think just to be like, you know what? It's all right that I don't have a solution for COVID-19 and I don't know where my next paycheck's coming from, and that's okay. But there's a little bit of, I want to call it anxiety, but I'm not even really sure if that's the right word.
Yeah,
that I have that comes out of that.
Yeah, it sounds like an anxious thought. Like, anxiety is just when your nervous system can't take the input that's coming in, and the input is greater than what's happening in your rhythm in your body. And so we go into what's called fight, flight, or freeze. It's where we start feeling our heart race. And anxiety can have a lot of different symptoms. It could be like, you're like a brain fog. It can be like numbness in your limbs. It could be like your heart racing. Are you feeling like you're smothering, or you feel like keyed up? These are all signs of anxiety. Honestly, because of your industry, you guys are made out of people who are highly creative. One of the things I would encourage you guys to do to deal with this anxiety and these tumultuous times is, if you like to paint, like, express your emotions, like throw some paint at like a white board or something, and like, just, you know, get it all out. Like, or if you want to like sculpt or something, sometimes when we use the creative part of our brain, it processes emotions on a different level. And especially you guys being so creative as it is, you need an outlet to be creative. And so I would highly recommend finding some way to express your emotions in an artistic way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yes. It's so funny. Like, so we're doing a podcast. That's our creative way for Susan and I to get our stuff out, I think. I know a lot of people that have launched podcasts in the last couple of weeks, you know, and websites and designed websites and are doing things like that. I have three friends of mine, I can tell you right off the bat, that have all redesigned or repainted their kitchens or bedrooms or living rooms. Which is been helpful. Carrie, one of the founders of Sound Girls, she's gardening and putting all her posts and pictures up of her garden. Yeah. And that's inspiring to me to see what other people are doing and how they're doing stuff too. So it's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
On the other side of that, how about when you're feeling too overwhelmed? Like, so sometimes I'll get too overwhelmed or with the anxiety or depression, and I'll just shut down, and then I'll want to do that stuff. And I know a lot of my friends are feeling this way as well. They want to do those projects, and then they see other people online, like, making all of this creative content. And then how do you get to, like, over that hump of the depression or whatever, just to start taking that step towards those things? That's the part that, I think some people
absolutely, because a lot of times when you're in that lull and you can't get yourself out, seeing those pictures of everyone else being productive brings more shame and more sadness and more depression. So my recommendation would be to listen to your body. Your body can't do it right now. Like, you're overwhelmed. You're literally in the freeze mode. So it's time to honor that and stay in your pajamas all day. Who cares? Like, you need to be loving and kind to yourself in that moment. And I know that may say that might seem all touchy feely, but our bodies send us messages all the time. And if we would listen to them, I think we would have a lot more physical and mental health, because when we are shut down, our body's saying, I've had enough. I'm going to have to wind down.
So for those of us that, like, when we get in those moments, for me, I will tell you, I did that a couple of days, stayed in my pajamas all day, didn't really do much, watched a little TV, you know, slept a lot more than I had in a while. At some point, I had this thought in my head, like, what if I don't come out of this? Like, does that mean I'm depressed now? And am I depressed? Like, and what is depression? And am I struggling with that now? Like, is that a new thing that I've added to my repertoire, you know? And so that's,
I think situational depression.
A lot of people make depression to be this big monster, like dum 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 dum. Oh my God. Like, I can't be depressed. Depression is just, I mean, very rarely are you like clinically depressed, right? That's not being able to get out of bed for weeks and months or feed yourself or whatever. But like most of us deal with depression on a regular basis. We don't realize it, especially during this time that the whole world is shut down. We're all dealing with depression in some way, because depression simply is, if you look at the DSM-5, which is the Bible of all mental health illnesses, which where they come from, it's that it literally is a diminished interest. It's fatigue, a depressed mood, a lack of energy, lack of motivation, discouragement, having feelings of loss or fear or hopelessness. I think the world is experiencing that right now.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It sounds like the entire world is depressed. I mean,
so that means your phone will be ringing off the hook this next week.
It has been.
Yeah, I bet. So let's talk a little bit about like coming out of this, you know. They're starting to open up a few things here and there. You know, say we're all right now, it doesn't look like we're all getting back to work anytime soon. But the rest of the world is going to start getting back to work, and we're just kind of sitting here waiting it out. We're probably going to be the last hurrah for live events anyway, which is what I do. And so to me, I'm like, okay, do I go out and get a job? Do I do that? You know, obviously those are personal kind of decisions, but I don't even know what the question is I'm trying to ask. I guess watching everything else open up and me not is struggle for me.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get back to work. I love working. It's my passion. It's what I do. It's why I'm in it. You know, and I think a lot of people in our industry, we've struggled and pushed through so hard to get where we are. And now it's just not there. You know, and a lot of people are saying negative things like, hey, we're not getting back to work till 2022, 2021, you know, and that kind of stuff scares the snot out of me. I'm like, come on, this is what I want to do for a living. This is, you know, come on, people. But at the same time, I want everyone to be safe, you know, and I want it to be done in a healthy way and people not to be, you know, harmed or whatever. So I guess, I don't know what I'm asking you other than I'm struggling a little bit with that.
Yeah, I hear you. And I think mainly it's two things. It's a loss of control. And loss of control automatically causes anxiety and depression. Like the whole world's going back to normal and what the hell? I can't go back to normal, you know? And so right. That's a loss of control. And when we feel that way, our body begins to go into fight, flight, or freeze. Also, it's the unknowns of like, when am I going to get paid? And so a lot of times it's just noticing those feelings and then working through them without having them shut you down. And then finding creative ways to make money, either that's like field adjacent to what you do or in a totally different arena. But the thing is that be careful of the naysayers, because they're always there and they're always going to be there. Because the more that you feed on that, we're not going to get back to work to 2022, the more that drains energy from you. I would say find some positive like affirmations and be like, you know what? Because obviously this is not going to last forever. And you will be back to work. And honestly, you'll be back to work. You guys are probably be so busy, you'll be like, damn, why can't I have the COVID-19 back? And so just thinking forward, like, okay, this too shall pass. I will get through this. It's going to be normal again. And then I'm going to want a break. And those kind of thoughts help readjust our thinking and then our bodies and our nervous system.
I think that's what I've kind of like relied back to, is some stuff that I learned years ago in addiction therapy, you know, is one day at a time, obviously, is their motto, because you don't know how you're going to be tomorrow or where it is or what's going on, you know, and like addicts, you know, they don't know if they're going to end up at a birthday party where there's going to be a lot of liquor and drugs, you know, or something. Yeah. So they've got to take it one day at a time. Today is the day that I can do this,
yes.
You know, so I've been stepping back and focusing on that for myself. You know, and sharing that with friends too, you know, like let's just get through today. I'll call you tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And let's see where we are then. So, are there any other like tips or helpful things other than obviously today, like focus on today and we're going to get through this?
Yeah. So that's called present centered awareness. It's very, very important to like not live in tomorrow and not live in yesterday, because yesterday brings so much regret and tomorrow brings so much anxiety. We can just be present in the moment. That's why, you know, go outside. Like I have like a couple little bunnies that have showed up during this, you know, COVID-19 thing. So we just sat there and we watched the bunnies and I'm like, wow. And it's so funny how something so, you know, so small, literally in size. And then also in retrospect to my life has calmed me down. And like, it brings me so much calm because my husband's company has been halfway shut down. Only one area is running because he does supply medical equipment and furniture. But for the most part, he had to furlough half of his constituency, his, and so that was really tough for us. And so we don't know when that's going to fully be in full swing, but we have no control over that. And so, Right. Yes, definitely presence center awareness, but also like get yourself outside, get yourself moving and talk to somebody, because just venting and getting it out, that's cathartic. Like remember the emotion is energy thing. Emotions are energy. And if we can talk about our feelings and, you know, and like with someone like-minded in your industry that gets it, that can give you emotional release as well, just to get through the day.
Thank you so much for saying that. That actually reminded me of something. Soundgirls is doing a Zoom call on Wednesdays at noon. So, if you guys, it's noon Pacific time. If anybody is needing to connect with somebody, jump on there. We're all jumping on when we can and talking to each other in our industry. And that's just kind of helping. It's just a chat, you know, just to hang out. Do you have any other things like that, Caprice, like hotlines people can call or how do people find like a mental health counselor or somebody they can talk to in their area?
Yeah, that's very tricky because, you know, just like your doctor or whatever, a mental health therapist, it needs to be someone that you feel like you really connect with. It's a very personal decision, but it all depends on what kind of therapy you're looking for. If you just like Google, like, you know, mental health therapist in my area, a ton will pop up. There's also like, you can go on Facebook and there's many pages for mental health therapists on Facebook. You can talk to a friend. Usually it's better if a friend refers you, that way, you know what to expect. I would just go and just shop around for a therapist. That's what I did for mine. And, I think it's important that you like what they're about and you like how like they practice their work. Because, you know, not every therapist is right for every client.
That's totally true. It was really rough. A couple of years back, my grief counselor moved to Australia. And then I had a huge lapse in therapy because it was so exhausting to find someone else. And so I kind of really let things slide a lot. And that was so hard. So if you can get ahead of it a little bit, I think that helps a lot.
Absolutely.
To do that shopping when you're not kind of in an urgent need to talk to somebody. Cause otherwise you just accept anybody and it's almost like dating. Like you go to an appointment and you're like, well, I don't like you.
No, let's it absolutely not do this again. Is. And that, yeah, it's so funny to say, but it's actually so true. A friend of mine, like, I encouraged her. She literally visited and she's a very like, you know, well-rounded, articulate, educated person, but she went through five therapists until she found the one that she felt like fit her. And I applauded her for that because this is a very personal, like therapy is the most personal thing you'll ever do. And if you don't feel like you're connecting with your therapist, then I would encourage you to keep searching until you do.
Yeah, it's usually worth the effort that you put in, although
it is very daunting. That is very true. That's why a lot of times I allow my incoming clients to interview me over the phone, like, and ask me any question they want. And, you know, I think a good therapist would be pretty cool with that, because why come in and spend the money if it's not going to work out? And, you know, so a lot of times just call the offices of the therapist and just ask as many questions as you have.
That's really helpful, because I definitely didn't do that. I would just take the gamble, and then you spend, like you said, money and time where you're just,
yes,
like,
exactly.
So, like you said, you can call places and just ask them questions, or you can email counselors and things like that. I'm not.
You can check out their websites too.
Absolutely.
You can like read their bio.
Yes.
I was referred when I was in counseling for a while. I was referred by a friend of mine, just like you said. So, that's how I found. I've never actually searched to find anything, but I do have friends of mine who are looking for counselors now. That's why I wanted to ask. Like as they've been in this COVID thing and stuck at home, they've realized, you know, there's some issues coming up that now that I'm not busy. And I'm not out on the road, and I'm not in the studio working 24/7. Like, I'm by myself and I don't really like me, or, you know, I'm by myself and I'm crying all the time because now I'm thinking about something I never had healed, or something's coming up,
yeah,
you know, even new
absolutely
things. So we just kind of want to take some time and just say, hey, you know, here's some stuff and put mental health on the front burner here for a minute, because I believe the mental health stigma is still in our country.
It is. Yes.
But also wanted to, you know, bring notice to it, for both Susan and I have been through counseling, and it has helped tremendously on my part, I can say. And, you know, I want to be able to get through stuff like this in the world and in my life in a healthy manner. And I think most of us do,
yes,
you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think most people want to suffer with themselves. And all of that stuff, those basic things that I learned in therapy are definitely, I'm using those, like the journaling, the going on the walk, stuff like that. Trying to slow down but still,
yes,
keep busy and find that balance. That's been tough, especially like my work hasn't stopped. Being a teacher, we had like a weekend to figure out how to take all of our stuff online. And it was not very much time. Thankfully, my class had a lot of online components already, but it was crazy. And I know a lot of people are not finding that good, like, work-life balance. Like, they're either not working at all or completely overwhelmed with work. And so I really hope that people who this is resonating with try to find a way to help themselves, because otherwise, like, you can't exist,
yes,
in this way long-term.
Absolutely.
You know?
Because our nervous system, it's like, when we're in fight, flight, or freeze, it's like taking the gas pedal of your car and pushing it all the way down and keeping it in park. It's like revving it up and leaving it there forever. And so that's what your body's doing. And that's why the depression part is the release. When your body's like, okay, I've had enough, I have to rest. And so that's why, you know, I encourage you to honor it. But absolutely, the most important thing for this time is to not be self-critical too, because I've seen so many posts from so many women are like, oh, I have my kids, you know, and they're already on section 4 of the books. And this is not a productivity contest. This is not a productivity contest. This is a freaking crisis, a global pandemic. You know, let's be kind to our children, be kind to ourselves. Let's not be critical of ourselves, or, you know, because this is not a time to really be self-judgmental. Like, we're, you know, this is unprecedented. No one really knows how to handle this, not even the professionals that were trained for it. And, you know, and so given that ourselves that space to just be imperfect, I think it helps too.
I do want to mention that Sound Girls has a relief fund that they've been working on. So if you go to soundgirls.org, you can navigate and find their page. They're doing not only just resources in your general area, but they're also doing a monetary relief fund. So that I'm sure is going to be really helpful for people that have lost their jobs. I'm really thankful, because being a teacher at a year-round university, this is like one of the first times that I've really felt grateful for that, and like not having summers off or something, because at least I have my job. But they have been, SoundGirls.org has right on their main page. So if you guys check that out, you can apply for their relief fund, and they also have resources to other ones.
That's
if you don't
great
qualify for that.
I love hearing that. That's so important.
Awesome. Well,
yeah, community support is huge.
Caprice, we're out of time. So thank you so much for joining us and helping us with our mental health.
Yeah, well, I just want to say thank you. Without all of you people who do what you do, we would be disconnected from each other. People wouldn't be able to do education. School would shut down. Churches would shut down. You guys are super vital, and I just want to say thank you, and I'm honored that you guys are out there doing what you do the best.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you.
The Sound Girls' mission is to inspire and empower the next generation of women in audio. Our mission is to create a supportive community for women in audio and music production, providing the tools, knowledge, and support to further their careers. Sound Girls supports women working in professional audio and music production by highlighting their success and providing a place for them to connect, network, and share advice and experiences.
Comments, questions, suggestions, or just want to chat, please email us at soundgirlspod@gmail.com. Join us next week on the Sound Girls Podcast, resonating beyond sound.